We are very blessed to have our Hazrat Wala, Shaykhul Hadith, Shaykh Muhammad Salim Dorat, Hafidhahullah amongst us. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he lengthens Hazrat shadow over the whole ummah, and he keeps him with good health. He grants him barakah in all aspects of life and gives us the tawfiq and ability to value his presence. In this day and age, my brothers, we find personalities of such caliber are very scarce, and the time after this will be even worse. So whatever we have in front of us, we have those people who remind us of the aslaf, of the salaf salihin. We should value their presence and we should try to benefit from them as much as we can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. I request all the brothers that please listen very attentively and turn off your mobile phones, like I reminded everyone in the beginning, and try to listen attentively with an open heart and with the intention that whatever I hear, I will inshallah try and take it on board and bring it into my life.
Alhamdulillah wahda wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected علماء, elders, young friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as always has showered his mercies upon us and granted us the tawfiq to participate in this deeni gathering, religious gathering, the 21st annual youth conference organized by the Islamic Dawah Academy in Leicester, so that we may realize the purpose of our lives. Due to the influence of shaitan, due to the influence of the environment we live in, due to the influence of our friend circle, we many a times falter, slip, and become negligent of the purpose of our creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only through His infinite mercy and grace, organizes deeni and religious programs, grants us the tawfiq to attend, grants the speakers the guidance to say what is beneficial for us, grants us the tawfiq to listen carefully and to digest what is being said. And after many months, many weeks, sometimes many years, we are able to come onto the straight path again, feel proud of being a Muslim, and exert effort in trying to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He may become happy with us. It is for this reason I have said that once again, as always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us through His infinite mercy only, through His kindness only, the tawfiq to participate in another deeni gathering. And the maqasid and the objectives of these gatherings are none other than to understand the purpose of our lives, and thereafter to try our utmost to fulfill this purpose. And this can be explained in many ways. We can say that the purpose of my life is worship, devotion, ibadah. We can say that the purpose of my life is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to become the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can say, I want to become a perfect Muslim. We can say, I want to become a strong and complete believer. We can also say the purpose of my life is to become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can also say that the purpose of my life is istiqamat on the straight path, steadfastness on the straight path. We can also say that the purpose of my life is taqwa. I want to acquire the noor of taqwa. I want to become a muttaqi, a person with taqwa. These are all different names, different words. The ultimate objective is the same. And the ultimate objective is to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make our Creator happy. If Allah becomes happy, then we are His special friends. If Allah becomes happy, He will love us. In order for Allah to become happy with us, we have to tread the path which is known as a Siratul Mustaqim, so istiqamah is there. We have to abstain from everything that displeases Him, so taqwa is there. And when a person acquires taqwa, when he abstains from everything that displeases Allah, when he carries out all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a perfect Muslim, he is a strong believer. Different names, but they all relate to the same thing. Our aim in life, my friends, is nothing other than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when supplicating, used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridhaka wal jannah. Oh Allah, I ask from you your ridha, your pleasure, your happiness. Wal jannah and jannah. So jannah comes after the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquired, everything is acquired. If Allah is happy with us, that means Allah is ours. If Allah is happy with us, Allah is ours. If Allah is happy with us, Allah is ours. And if Allah is ours, everything is ours. And if Allah is unhappy with us, nothing is ours. Because Allah is not ours. Allah is not in our favor. So if Allah is happy with us, Allah is ours. If Allah is ours, everything is ours. And if Allah is unhappy with us, He is not ours. He will not favor us. And if Allah does not show us favor, then nothing is ours. So if Allah is ours, despite having nothing, everything is ours. And if Allah is not ours, despite having everything, nothing is ours. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Tu ek mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Agar ek tu nahi mera, if you one and only is not mine. Agar ek tu nahi mera, if you, the one and only, is not mine, then nothing is mine. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Tu ek mera, if you, the one and only, is mine, to sab mera, everything is mine. Falak mera, zami meri, the heavens are mine and the earth is mine. Tum nahi hasil, to kuch hasil nahi. If I cannot acquire you, O my Creator, then I have not acquired anything. Even if I become a king of a nation, if I cannot acquire you, your pleasure, then nothing is mine. Tum nahi hasil, if I cannot acquire you, to kuch hasil nahi, then I have acquired nothing, despite having everything. Tum nahi hasil, to kuch hasil nahi. Tum huye hasil, to sab hasil huye. If I have acquired you, then I have acquired everything. So this is the objective of life. To acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make Allah happy, to keep Him happy until we breathe our last. To make Allah happy and to keep Him happy until we breathe our last. Each and every second of our lives should be spent in such a way that Allah never becomes unhappy. Allah is always happy with us. So our goal is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, if Allah is with us, then Jannah is ours. Then we do not have to fear Jahannam. We do not have to fear the crossing of the Sirat on the day of Qiyamah. We do not have to fear the reckoning. Because if Allah is with us, reckoning will be easy. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Easy. Reckoning will be easy. For some it will be easy, for some it will be very easy. If we please Allah, for some it will be easy, for the others it will be very easy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that 70,000 individuals from my ummah will go into Jannah without any reckoning. Without any reckoning. There will be no reckoning. No hisab on the day of Qiyamah. And when these 70,000 will start walking towards Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, call them back. Because I want to grant them even more greater honor. More greater honor. Oh Allah, what is that honor? Allah will call them and say that each of you take another 70,000 without reckoning. So 70,000 multiplied by 70,000 will have a very easy reckoning. They will go into Jannah without any reckoning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include all of us and all our dear ones, near ones, associates from this group. And the other group who will have an easy reckoning? Easy reckoning. Reckoning will take place, but easy. He will made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask 5 questions. لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس. The feet of every human will not move from his place on the day of Qiyamah until he answers 5 questions. عن عمره فيما أفنى. Regarding his whole life, where he spent it. وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه. Regarding his youth, where he spent it. وَعَنْ مَالِهِ regarding his wealth, مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ from where he earned it, وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ and where he spent it, وَعَمَّا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمْ and regarding his ilm, how much did he practice what he knew? Each person will have to go through this interrogation. But those people with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy, will be made to go through a very, very easy reckoning. That means no reckoning will take place, or reckoning will take place, but easy reckoning. And in the terminology of hadith, it is called al-ard. Ard. They will be made to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, where did you spend your life? Answer. And he will begin and he will try to answer the question. Allah will say, forget your life, talk about your youth. He will just about to say a sentence or half a sentence, Allah will say, let's talk about your wealth. Where did you earn your wealth from? Tell me about your wealth. He will begin to speak and Allah will say, talk about spending your wealth. Where did you spend your wealth? Just ask the questions, and before the answer is given, he goes on to the next question, and he will say after the 5th question, it's okay, you go in Jannah. If the pleasure is acquired, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is made easy. Person will not fear Jahannam, person will not fear reckoning, the person will not fear the horrors of the day of Qiyamah, the person will not fear the punishment in the grave, the person will not fear the time of death. The time of death. Because he knows that my Creator is pleased with me, so I don't have to fear anything. If my Creator is pleased with me, then the hereafter is better for me than this world. He will long to meet his Creator if he has pleased his Creator. Bilal radiallahu anhu, he is in his last moments and he is saying, Watarabah, Watarabah, my fortune, I am leaving this world. So the wife says that you are leaving this world and you are saying, my fortune, he said, yes, غَدًا نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةَ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبَهُ. Soon I will be meeting my friends, my partners, my associates, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his group. Al-maut jasrun yusilul habiba ilal habib. The pious people, the awliya, they say, al-maut, what is death? What is death? Is a gift. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, tuhfatul mu'mini al-maut. The gift for a believer is death. Death is a gift for a believer. Why? Because it is the veil of death that is preventing him from meeting his beloved. It is this curtain of death. It is this wall of death. It is this barrier of death that is preventing him from meeting his beloved. So the awliya, they say, al-mautu jasrun. Death is a bridge. Death is a bridge. Yusilul habiba ilal habib. Which facilitates for the lover the meeting with his beloved. So the one who acquires the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fears nothing, nothing in the hereafter, nothing in this world. In every condition, he finds enjoyment. In every condition, he finds ecstasy. In this world, in the hereafter. Because he knows that my Creator is happy with me. He knows that my Creator is pleased with me. And there is no greater means of ecstasy, comfort, enjoyment than the thought that my Creator is happy with me. And for this, my friends, we need taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Because Allah becomes unhappy when a person disobeys Him. And taqwa is a barrier between a person and the displeasure of his Creator, disobedience of his Creator. We need to create this barrier between ourselves and our Creator. So if this barrier does not exist, we will do things that will displease our Creator. And we will deprive ourselves of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah is not pleased, then there is danger everywhere. Danger, danger in this world, danger in our family life, danger in our rizq, danger in our comfort, danger in our peace of mind, danger in our tranquility of the heart, danger in our khatima, the final departure. Danger in the grave, danger on the day of Qiyamah, danger at the time of reckoning, danger on the Sirat. We may find ourselves in the fire of Jahannam. Danger, danger, danger. When we remove the curtain and the barrier of taqwa, and as soon as we create a barrier of taqwa between ourselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to disobey Allah. And if we do not disobey Allah, Allah will always remain happy with us. And when Allah is happy with us, no danger, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى. Abstain from sins. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ. Abstain from sins. صَغِيرَهَا minor, وَكَبِيرَهَا and major. Do not differentiate between a minor sin and a major sin. Minor, major is for academic purposes only, not for practical life. As far as the practical life is concerned, minor sin and major sin, both are to abstain from. It is only for academic purposes. Certain ahkam depend upon whether the sin that a person committed was minor or major. So it is for academic purposes. The list of major and list of minor is not there for us to think this way that, oh, this is major, so I have to stay away from it, and this is a minor, so it doesn't really matter. No. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, I used to say, kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to refrain from, be it from the major category, be it from the minor category, as far as a mu'min is concerned, it falls within the category of major disobediences. Because to disobey the Creator, however insignificant that act may be, how can you disobey the Creator? Disobedience is disobedience, whether it falls in the category of major sins or minor sins. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, used to say that, have you seen an intelligent person who says that stay away from a large scorpion but not a small one? Have you ever seen an intelligent person who says that this is only a small snake, so it doesn't matter if my child plays with it? Both are equally dangerous, the large and the small. Similarly, the sin, be it major or minor, they are both dangerous. خَلِّ الزُّنُوب. In order to become a muttaqi, a person has to abstain from every sin, saghira or kabira, minor or major. And remember one thing, my friends. In the definition of the major sin and the minor sin, the ulama have stated that a minor sin remains a minor sin as long as a person does not look down upon it. As soon as a person looks down upon it and he begins to feel in his heart, oh, it's only a minor sin. It's only a minor sin. It doesn't really matter if I commit this sin. It's only a minor sin. This sin for the whole ummah is minor, but for this particular person, this sin has become major. So as soon as you undermine and look down upon a minor sin, that minor sin becomes major. So kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa sagiratun, fahuwa kabiratun. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu says that every sin, be it major or minor, is always major as far as the practical aspect of a human is concerned. خَلِّ الذُّنُوب صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى. Refrain from sins, major and minor, major and minor, ذَاكَ التُّقَى, that is taqwa. لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً, do not look down upon a minor sin. إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحِسَى, because the mountain that you see in front of you is made of small pebbles. When small pebbles gather together, they become a mountain. So when small sins gather together, they become a mountain and they will lure you towards major sin. And after major sin, another major sin. And thereafter, another major sin. And you will soon find yourself committing major sins. So the minor sins will take you towards major sins, and then major sins will take a person towards kufr. Every sin has an effect of kufr. Every sin has the germs of kufr. So the minor sins, they take a person towards major sins, and when a person continues to commit major sins, major sins, major sins, the germs of kufr increase, 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 and it is possible that a person may find within his heart doubt regarding the aqaid and the beliefs of Islam, and soon he may find that although practically or outwardly he is a Muslim, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a Muslim no more. He will lose his iman in this very world. So it is a poison. Sin is a poison which can lead to destruction, which can lead to kufr. So in order to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need taqwa. Taqwa, a barrier between ourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A barrier between ourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa. Everything is promised for those people with taqwa. Alif Lam Mim, Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil Muttaqeen. This book is a source of guidance for those people who have taqwa. They will be able to benefit fully and 100% from the guidance of this book. و
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. One who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him to leave every problem. Every problem, every grief, every difficulty, Allah will create an exit for him to leave from that problem. Those people who have taqwa. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. The person who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain him and grant him whatever he requires, whenever he requires, from those avenues which he had not even thought of. When he requires ilm, Allah will grant him ilm. When he requires food, Allah will grant him food. When he requires water, Allah will grant him water. When he requires medicine, Allah will grant him medicine. Whatever he requires, every type of sustenance. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. The one with taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for him in everything. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُعَظِّمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. One who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his ajr manifold. Because his salat will be different from the salat of the one who has no taqwa. His dhikr will be different from the dhikr of that person who has no taqwa. So the goal of life from today, my friends, is acquiring the pleasure of Allah. Acquiring the pleasure of Allah. And in order to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need taqwa in our lives. Taqwa. Taqwa is a must. We need taqwa in our lives. So pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taqwa goes hand in hand. If a person has acquired the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a proof that he has taqwa. And if a person has taqwa in his life, then he definitely has acquired the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa. As soon as a person acquires taqwa, he becomes the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Listen carefully. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There will be no fear upon them, nor will they grieve, neither in this world, nor at the time of death, nor in the grave, nor in the hereafter. No fear, no grief. Who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who show miracles, who exhibit extraordinary feats? No. Alladheena amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. This is the definition of a wali in the Quran. Alladheena amanu, those people who have iman, wa kanu yattaqoon, and have taqwa. Iman and taqwa, the only two requirements to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always tell my Muslim friends that alhamdulillah, we already have one item, iman. We only have to exert a little bit of effort and become a muttaqi so that we also become the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not far away from the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of us, alhamdulillah, over and over again, become the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but become ungrateful and turn away from Him again, unfortunately. All of us who are sitting here, alhamdulillah, in their lives, many times have become the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have become walis. But shaitan does not let us remain walis for long. In order to become wali, you need two things, iman and taqwa. So even a non-Muslim can become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A non-Muslim will become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he carries out two things. He accepts iman and thereafter adopts taqwa. And a Muslim is already a believer, so he already has iman, so he only needs to do one thing, adopt taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made acquisition of wilaya fard upon every human. Taqwa is fard. If taqwa is fard and if through taqwa a person becomes wali, becoming wali of Allah is fard. Allah has made it fard upon every human. Be that human a Muslim or a non-Muslim. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made wilaya fard, becoming the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fard, then we have to conclude that every human has the ability to become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be he Muslim or non-Muslim. Only two things for a non-Muslim, iman and taqwa. And for a Muslim, only taqwa, because he already has iman. And as I said, all of us here, all of us, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, have during our lives become the awliya many times. When does a person become a wali? When he becomes a muttaqi. So when during the month of Ramadan, we 100% repent sincerely from all sins, and we stop all sins, and we make a firm resolution that come what may, now this is how my life is going to remain. No more girls, no more clubs, no more drugs, no more alcohol, no more lying, no more cheating, no more disobeying parents. And alhamdulillah, we find in the month of Ramadan, maybe after the 10th, maybe after the 15th of Ramadan, maybe in the last ashra, maybe after the 27th night, that yes, the jazba is there, the zeal is there, and 3 days pass in taqwa, without disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that precise moment, there is no intention whatsoever to commit any sin after Ramadan. During those days, my friends, you are the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How grateful, how merciful. How merciful is our Creator. How merciful is our Creator, that despite all our filth, He grants us the tawfiq and He elevates us to the status of becoming His special friends. And it is we who become ungrateful, and after Ramadan, the day of Eid al-Fitr, we turn our faces from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2 weeks after Umrah, 2 weeks after Hajj, we turn our faces from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, my friends, right here in this building of the Islamic Dawah Academy, in this masjid of the Islamic Dawah Academy, in this gathering of thousands, and those of my brothers and sisters who are listening at home, in many parts of the world, I urge all of you, let us not wait for the next hour, let us not wait for the next minute, let us not wait for the next second, right now, here, let our hearts turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with grief, with remorse, with regret. And let us make a firm resolution with our Creator that, oh Allah, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We are making a firm resolution that from today we will remain your slaves only. We will never become slaves to our nafs or shaitan. Make a firm resolution, my friends. As soon as you make this firm resolution, you will immediately become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, try your utmost to become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remain the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by staying away from everything that displeases Him. And if overcome by shaitan, nafs, environment, wrong company, immediately make tawbah and reaffirm your pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become wali again. So become a wali now. Thereafter, try your utmost to remain a wali. Shaitan's effort will be to make you move away from that status of wilaya. So he may push you away from that status of wilaya through a filthy action of yours. He may make you commit something which is very filthy, which is very evil. But don't become despondent. No, don't become despondent. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn through tawbah. Tawbah, tawbah. The literal meaning of tawbah is to turn. So tawbah is U-turn. Make a U-turn. Fight with the shaitan. The shaitan pushes you away from that platform of wilaya. Don't give up. Fight back and make tawbah and return to that platform. He pushes you away again. Make tawbah and return to that platform. He pushes you away again. Make a firm resolution again. Say, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, and return again. If you continue this struggle with shaitan, if you continue this struggle with shaitan, what is going to happen? Wilaya, sin, tawbah, so wilaya again. Sin, tawbah, so wilaya again. You are rebounding yourself all the time through tawbah. You are here wilaya. Wilaya, shaitan will throw you away from wilaya by making you commit sin. So you are here now. So again tawbah, you wilaya. So wilaya, sin, tawbah, wilaya. Sin, tawbah, wilaya. Sin, tawbah, wilaya. Sin, tawbah, wilaya. If you continue with this cycle, then what will happen is that you are on wilaya, shaitan tries to push you. He succeeds. You commit a sin. After sin, you make tawbah, you return to wilaya again. He pushes you again and you commit a sin. Tawbah, you return again. Again, he pushes you by making you commit sin. Sin, tawbah, you return again. If you continue with this cycle, what will happen is that your resolve will become more stronger. And the stamina to abstain from sins will get greater through the barakah of tawbah. So now shaitan will try to push you, he will not be able to push you. He'll push you a second time, he will not be able to push you. He'll push you a third time, he will succeed, so sin. But again, tawbah, you return. So he pushes you once, twice, thrice, sin, tawbah, return. Once, twice, thrice, no, he cannot move you. Fourth time, sixth time, seven, nine, ten, you commit a sin, again you tawbah, you return to wilaya. Now he tries to push you 50 times and after 50 times he becomes successful. Sin, tawbah again you return. Now it takes him 100 efforts to push you. Slowly, slowly, slowly a time will come when he will not be able to push you off the status of wilaya. My friends, each and every one of you, it is my appeal, humble appeal to all of you. Humble appeal to all of you. Make this firm resolution that from today, I will not do anything, I will not say anything, I will not behave in a manner which will displease my Creator, even for a second. And if I do something wrong, if I make a mistake, and as soon as I realize, immediately or after 5 minutes, or after 1 hour, sometimes it takes a person to realize 24 hours. It takes 24 hours to realize. Sometimes it takes a person 3 days to... As soon as I realize, I will immediately return tawbah. Tawbah, return to wilaya. I want to remain the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you continue in this manner, my friends, soon you will find, inshallah, before you come here next year, in 12 months, that you have got the grip of taqwa, and now shaitan is unable to push you off the status of wilaya, the platform of wilaya. You have become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter, taqwa does not remain bitter. So in the initial stages, it will be very bitter. Taqwa is very bitter in the initial stages. Very bitter. Very bitter. A beautiful girl is passing by me and I have to control my gaze. Very bitter. A handsome boy is passing by and for a girl to control her gaze. Very bitter. I have the habit of watching films. To abstain from watching films. Very, very bitter. Very bitter. Instead of going on the net, I've gone in my bed so that I do not commit any sins. I cannot sleep. I want to go. I want to go on the... It's very bitter. When a person continues to swallow this bitter pill of taqwa, soon, after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, this very bitter pill of taqwa will become the sweet fruit of taqwa. Sweet fruit of taqwa. He will enjoy every moment of it. He will enjoy the sajda. He will enjoy the ruku. He will enjoy the waking up in the morning at tahajjud salat. There is nothing more sweeter than the sweetness of taqwa. There is nothing more sweeter than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one's heart. Hazrat Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he used to say that when I place my forehead in sajda, I do not feel like lifting my head up. For us, it's difficult to put our forehead in sajda. If we perform salat behind an imam who is particular in regard to the ta'dil of salat, and he takes his time in his ruku and he takes his time in his sujood, we find that salat slightly difficult, burdensome, that ruku, that sajda. And many a times we find brothers that they get up from sajda and ruku before the imam. And they get stuck between the two postures. Even after realizing that I'm up a few inches and imam is still in the ruku or sajda, they cannot go back into ruku and sajda. Why, my friends? Because only that person can prostrate before Allah whom Allah loves. For us, it's difficult to place our foreheads on the floor, on the ground. And for those people, it was difficult to raise their foreheads from the ground. The kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkah used to say during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that attack the Muslims when they are performing their salat. Why? Because they find sweetness in their salah more than the sweetness we find in consuming alcohol. So when they are performing salah, they find so much enjoyment in their salah that they forget everything, attack Muslims at that time. A person was performing salat and his horse was tied to a log, and whilst performing salat, a thief came and he started untying the horse. And some people saw this from a distance and they knew that we would not be able to reach that place and stop the thief. So they started shouting at this person who was performing salat, and it was nafla salat. That break your salat, discard your salat, let go of your salat, because it is permissible in such conditions. Because the thief is going away with something which is very, very valuable. A horse in those days was like a Mercedes in our times. A horse, he is going off with the horse. Break the salat, break your salat. Somebody is stealing your horse. But he continued with his salat, despite hearing and knowing what people were saying. It's like somebody glued on the TV and the mother is saying something, he hears everything and he replies as well, but his eyes are fixed on the TV. So he continued with his salat. By the time the people got to him, the thief had gone off with the horse. So after he completed his salat, they lamented him that you could have always repeated the 2 rakat. It was not necessary for you to continue. You could have repeated your 2 rakat, or you could have repeated the salat you were performing. You could not save your valuable item. So he smiled. And he said, Ma kuntu fihi aladdu min dhalik. He said, owning a horse is a very, very enjoyable item. You feel proud that I have a very nice horse. I have a very nice Mercedes. I have a very nice car. So it is an enjoyable item. You find pride and you find good feeling inside. He said, yes, it is an enjoyable item. But he said, the salat that I was in was more enjoyable than the enjoyment of the horse. Ibrahim ibn Adham rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say, Wallahi, inna fi ladhatin law alimaha al-muluku lajadaluna alayha bis-suyuf. Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was a king at one time. And for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forsake everything. He was a king of a kingdom. And for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left everything. And he went away and he remained in the company of a pious personality and he became a wali of his time. So when the ministers came to convince him to return and take the throne again, he kept on saying no, they kept on insisting. And he was sitting at the bank of the river in a jungle at that time when they were convincing him with very simple clothes. At one time he was the king. And how he repented? One day he was sleeping in his palace and he heard some noise on the roof or on the balcony. So he got up and he went to see and he saw two men looking for something. So he said, who are you and what are you doing here? So he said, we've lost our camel and we are looking for our camel. So he said, looking for a camel in the palace of the king? On the roof, on the balcony, looking for... So he said, your matter is even more surprising than ours. Your matter is even more surprising than ours. What is that? He said, you are looking for Jannah in comfortable beds. You are looking for Jannah in comfortable bed, in comfortable life. And this was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a source of guidance, and he repented and he left his kingdom. So the minister said that, return to the throne again. You've left a kingdom. You are a king of the country. So when he saw that they do not understand that this life is better than that life, he took out a needle that was in the shawl that he was wearing or the blanket that was covering top part of his body. He took out a needle and he threw it in the river. And he said, oh, the fishes of the river, bring me my needle. So dozens of fishes came out with a golden needle in their mouth. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah said, no, I do not want the gold, I want my needle. So all the fishes went down again and one fish came out with his needle. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah turned to the ministers and he said, the one who has been given this kingdom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will he return to his old kingdom? He used to say, Wallahi inna fi ladhatin. Because he had remained a king at one time. He said, Wallahi inna fi ladhatin. By Allah, we are in that ecstasy and pleasure and enjoyment. Law alimah al-muluk, if the kings understood that enjoyment and if they knew of that pleasure, لَجَادَلُونَ عَلِيهَا بِالسُّيُوفِ, they would come on our doorsteps with their swords and they would try to snatch away that enjoyment from us. Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he was being persecuted by the non-Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah, he was being dragged and he was being dragged on stony ground and he was made to lie on hot ground and they used to place heavy stones on his chest. Despite all these punishments, Bilal used to say, Ahad, 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 Ahad. Allah, don't say Ahad, don't say Ahad, we will punish you more. He would say, Ahad, 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 Ahad. The ulama, especially the experts in ruhaniyat, they say that the dhikr of Ahad, Ahad had so much sweetness that Bilal, when given bitter pills of punishment, used to console himself with the dhikr and the sweetness of Ahad, Ahad. And when he used to say Ahad, Ahad, it used to intoxicate him to such an extent that he would not feel anything. Just Ahad, Ahad used to intoxicate him. So imagine the Salat of Bilal. Imagine the Ruku of Bilal. Imagine what must have happened to Bilal when he used to prostrate before his creator and he would say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. But for this, we need to initially swallow the bitter pill of taqwa. And it is The swallowing the bitter pill of taqwa, that is called mujahada. We say mujahada, 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 mujahada. What is mujahada? Mujahada. To remain hungry when the food is available. To remain thirsty when water is available. To sleep on the floor when bed is available. That is mujahada. To make wudu with cold water when hot water is available. That is mujahada. To walk when the car is available. That is mujahada. No, that is not mujahada. Mujahada. What is mujahada? Mujahada is that when the nafs entices you, when the shaitan misleads you towards disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how bitter it may feel, do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is mujahada. So when the nafs sways you, when the nafs entices you, when the nafs tries to mislead you, when it comes to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to swallow that bitter pill and say, no, come what may, I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however difficult it is. At that time, in order to help you remember Allah, at that time, say that my Allah is watching me. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says that stay away from the disobedience to Allah. And how can you stay away from the disobedience to Allah? Make this muraqabah. Inna Allah khabirun bima ta'amaloon. Allah is all aware of what you are doing. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. How can I do this? My Allah is watching me. If my father was watching me, would I have done this? If my wife was watching me, would I have done this? If my friends were watching me, would I have done this? Allah is watching me. How can I do this? Tell yourself, what if I die in this condition? What if I die whilst committing adultery, fornication, consuming alcohol? How will I show my face to my Creator? Remember the hereafter. Remember the hereafter. One day I have to die. I will have to go in the grave. I will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be questioned regarding anything and everything I did in this world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah in the state that he has died. What if I die in this condition? Everybody will see me on the day of Qiyamah in this condition. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. What did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam do when he was seduced by Zulaikha? He said, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn from this that when we are faced with a difficult situation and when we have to swallow this bitter pill of abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His refuge. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, help me. We should never rely on our ability to abstain from sinful activities. Turn to Allah. Ma'ad Allah. And thereafter remind ourselves, Innahu Rabbi Ahsana Maswai. He is my Creator and He has granted me everything in this life. How can I disobey Him? It is He who has granted me these eyes. How can I disobey the very giver of the eyes with these eyes? It is He who has given me these ears. How can I disobey the very giver of these ears with these same ears? It is He who has given me this tongue. How can I obey the giver of this tongue with the same tongue? How is it possible? If I disobey my Creator with what He has given me, I will become a zalim. I will become an oppressor. Innahu la yuflihu al-zalimun. And an oppressor. The oppressors never become successful. I will fail in this world. I will fail in the hereafter. No, I cannot commit sins. I cannot commit sins. Make this firm resolution, my friend. We will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. I will just narrate one incident before concluding. That we have to swallow these bitter pills. And when we swallow these bitter pills, inshallah, today, lowering your gaze will be bitter. Tomorrow, lowering your gaze will become so sweet, so sweet, so sweet. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the glance at a non-mahram lady, glance at a non-mahram man is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that one who Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quotes in Hadith Qudsi, that one who protects and safeguards his eyes from this sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the sweetness of Iman in his heart. And soon a time will come when he will feel this sweetness. And he will look for opportunities to lower his gaze. Now we are looking for opportunities to make our eyes filthy with disobedience to Allah. Thereafter we will look for opportunities so we are able to lower our gazes and find the sweetness of Iman in our hearts. Bitter pills in the initial stages. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar of Madina Munawwara, a great faqih of Madina Munawwara, from the seven well-known fuqaha of Madina Munawwara. It is a terminology, al-fuqaha us-saba, the seven fuqaha of Madina Munawwara. He was one of them. He and his friend, they traveled from Madina Munawwara to go to Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj or Umrah. On the way, they stopped at a place beneath a mountain and they both decided that one should go for shopping and the other will make preparations here. They wanted to have food. So they prepared a tent to stay for a few hours or maybe a night. One of them left. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala, very handsome young man, a faqih of his time, he remained behind. And on top of the mountain or a hill, a family lived. They had a house built on the mountain. And they had a young daughter who was also very beautiful. So when her gaze fell on Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala, she immediately fell in love with him. And shaitan and nafs enticed her. And the only thing that was in her mind at that moment was to fulfill her desire with Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala. So she was watching very carefully the movements of the two visitors. When she saw that one of them has gone, she came down and she entered the tent. And as soon as she entered the tent, Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala's gaze fell on her, and according to the Quranic injunctions, he immediately controlled his gaze and he said, can I help you? So she said, yes, I am in need. So he said, money or food? So she said, no, I want from you what a woman desires from a man. Immediately Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala started weeping. Because they had the fear of the hereafter. Fear of the hereafter, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me. What if I fail this test? What will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah? What will happen to me in the grave? What if I die in this condition? What if I fail this test? Oh Allah, he started crying. Attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this girl noticed him crying very loudly, she feared her honor. And she ran out of the tent and she left. When the other friend and companion returned, he saw that Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala had cried excessively. His eyes were very red. He said, why are you crying? Or why were you crying? He said, I was remembering the family. See how sincere these people were. How sincere. I always tell friends that the people of the past used to do much but reveal little. And nowadays we do little but reveal much. We exaggerate, we lie. We all of us like to be on the front page of a newspaper. Some responsible people in the masajid, they do something very small and insignificant, but they feel so proud to be in the local newspaper, maybe on the last page. It's like a souvenir for them. Oh, we've done something. TV, YouTube, newspaper. He said, no, I was remembering the family, children, wife. He said, no, I know you. When you remember family or children, you don't cry so much. Tell me what happened. So he narrated the whole incident. When he narrated the whole incident, the companion began weeping. He said, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because if I was on your place, I would not have been able to save myself. I am crying because I fear that what if I am placed in a similar situation. See how much fear they had. They both left, they went for Umrah, they performed their Umrah, and one day Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala was sitting in the Mataf, in the Haram Sharif in front of Kaaba, between Hajar-e-Aswad and Maqam-e-Ibrahim, and he dozed off to sleep and he saw a dream. And in his dream, he saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, "You are so handsome, you look so pious, who are you?" He said, "I am Yusuf." He said, "Yusuf the Siddiq?" Because the Quran says, "Yusuf, ayyuha Siddiq." "You are Yusuf the Siddiq?" He said, "Yes, I am Yusuf the Siddiq." So he said, "Your incident with Zulaikha is mind-blowing. Zulaikha was so pretty. You were young and handsome as well. And you were given the opportunity to fulfill your desire with one of the or the most beautiful woman in the whole of Egypt. And you controlled yourself." Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Your incident below the mountain was more mind-blowing than my incident. Because I am the Nabi of Allah and a Nabi is masoom. You are an ummati. Ummati is not a masoom. Despite that you control your nafs." So friends, the objective in life is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be acquired through taqwa. What is taqwa? To abstain from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we fail, to repent immediately. Repenting is also part of taqwa. So taqwa, this is the whole package. To abstain from disobedience to Allah. And when disobedience is carried out, then to repent. And in order to become a muttaqi, in the initial stages, we have to swallow this bitter pill of taqwa. And exercise mujahada. Exercise mujahada. Come what may, I will not disobey Allah. Come what may, I will not disobey Allah. In order to make this mujahada easy, think that my Allah is watching me. In order to make this mujahada easy, what will I do when I die? What if I die in this condition? What will happen to me when I go in the grave on the day of Qiyamah? Sit in the company of the pious people. Engage in pious activities. Da'wah. Go to mashayikh. Sit in their company. Stay away from wrong company, wrong environments. Make your heart zakir. Make your mind zakir. Bring the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to do that, associate yourself with a sheikh and slowly go through the exercises of adhkar and make your heart and mind dhakir. And whenever a mistake is made, immediately repent. A time will come when shaitan will not be able to push you away. Mujahada, the ability of mujahada will become very strong. And when the ability of mujahada becomes strong, a person will enjoy his mujahada. He will enjoy his mujahada. And when a person has the ability to do mujahada, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, then Allah Himself will guide us on paths leading to Him. He will Himself create ideas in our hearts and minds that this is how you safeguard yourself from this sin, this is how you safeguard yourself from this sin, this is how you safeguard yourself from this sin. So go from here with a firm resolution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attention is towards this whole gathering, because people have come not only from various parts of the country, they have come from various parts of the world. Many brothers have come from Denmark, Sweden, Norway. People have come from Africa also. So people have come from various parts of the world. And so many people are listening to this program at this very moment. So many blessed people have come. So many young people who may have been sinning until this morning maybe. But they have come all the way up to the Islamic Dawah Academy to attend this conference with one view only, that they want to please Allah. So these are all blessed people. These are all beloved people in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's attention is, we can hope that towards this gathering, let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefit from this blessed gathering and make a firm resolution that inshallah from today we will always keep our Creator happy. We will never sin. We will never sin. We will never sin. If we have to give our life away, we will give our life away, but we will not sin. And if overcome by shaitan and nafs, we make an error, we will repent immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafir, ghafoor, ghaffar, wadood, ra'uf, rahim, rahman. He is waiting for us to turn to him and repent to him so that he He may forgive us because He likes those people who ask for forgiveness, and He also likes to forgive people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins, forgive the sins of all our associates, dear ones, near ones, and the whole ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance and accept this 21st annual youth conference of the Islamic Dawah Academy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to see many more auspicious occasions such as these at the Islamic Dawah Academy and elsewhere throughout the country and throughout the world. And may we see that day when Islam is flourishing throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So many brothers and sisters have requested for dua. Make dua for them, make dua for those who may have wanted to request but they were unable to, and make dua for the whole ummah. Make dua for the ummate ijabat, ummate da'wat, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And make dua for those who are still alive and those who have passed away, deceased. Make dua for everybody and make dua for yourself and make a firm resolution to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. نستغفرك ربنا ونسألك التوبة وأصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهدك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم اجعل خير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهلي ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم أذهب الباس رب الناس اشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما ولا مرضا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق اللهم وحد صفوفهم اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم اللهم زدهم ولا تنقصهم ولا تسلط عليهم من لا يرحمهم ولا يخافك فيهم اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المحبوبين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المحبوبين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المحبوبين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين أو أرحم الراحمين أو the most merciful أو the most merciful أو the most merciful have mercy upon us have mercy upon us have mercy upon us أو the most forgiving forgive our sins forgive our major sins forgive our minor sins we turn to you and repent sincerely in this blessed gathering in this blessed house of yours أو أرحم الراحمين Forgive our sins, forgive our major sins, forgive our minor sins, forgive all our sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of our children, our wives, our brothers, our sisters, our families, our relatives. Forgive the sins of our associates, our friends. Forgive the sins of our well-wishers. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Rabbul Rahimin, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Rabbul Rahimin, we are sinful. We are sinners. O Rabbul Rahimin, we accept our shortcomings. O Rabbul Rahimin, forgive our sins. Forgive our sins. O Rabbul Rahimin, forgive our sins. O Rabbul Rahimin, purify our hearts. O Rabbul Rahimin, purify our hearts. O Rabbul Rahimin, wash away the filth of our sins that lie on our hearts. O Rabbul Rahimin, O Rabbul Rahimin, O Rabbul Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to follow your commands. O Rabbul Rahimin, enlighten our hearts with the noor of taqwa. O Rabbul Rahimin, create the barrier, the curtain, the wall of taqwa between us and your disobedience. O Rabbul Rahimin, safeguard us from everything that displeases you. O Rabbul Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to do everything and anything that pleases you. O Rahmur Rahimin, enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with the love of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enlighten your hearts with your ma'rifat and recognition. O Rahmur Rahimin, enlighten our hearts with good morals and good characters. O Rahmur Rahimin, O Rahmur Rahimin, wash away the filth of evil traits that lie within our hearts. O Rahmur Rahimin, save our hearts from hasad and jealousy, from kibr, arrogance and pride. O Rahmur Rahimin, save our hearts from inclination towards sinful activities. O Arhamur Rahimin, fortify our hearts against the wasawis and whispers of shaitan and nafs. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, keep us steadfast on the sirat mustaqim. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us istiqamah, grant us the ability to carry out mujahada. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, create in our hearts the hatred for your disobedience. O Arhamur Rahimin, create in our hearts the hatred for your disobedience. Create in our hearts the hatred for your disobedience. Create in our hearts the love and inclination for everything that pleases you. O Arhamur Rahimin, make our ibadat and devotion perfect. O Arhamur Rahimin, better our muamalat, better our muasharat. O Arhamur Rahimin, better our akhlaq and morals and characters. O Arhamur Rahimin, for as long as you keep us in this world, keep us with iman. For as long as you keep us in this world, keep us on the straight path. O Arhamur Rahimin, when you take us from this world, take us whilst we are reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. When you take us from this world, take us with your love. When you take us from this world, take us whilst we are smiling and whilst you are also smiling. O Arhamur Rahimin, when you take us from this world, take us whilst we are in ruku, whilst we are in sujood, whilst we are in Makkah Mukarrama, whilst we are in Madinah Munawwara, whilst we are in your path. O Arhamur Rahimin, when you take us from this world, take us in the state of your obedience, in the state of your wilaya. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us a good departure, grant us husn-e khatima. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us husn-e khatima. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from the punishment of the grave. O Arhamur Rahimin, make our graves gardens from the gardens of paradise. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimin, and shroud us in your mercy on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimin, make our reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimin, include us from your most, from those beloved servants who will be granted entry into Jannah without any reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. O Arhamur Rahimin, make pul sirat easy for us. Make the sirat easy for us. Make crossing the sirat easy for us. O Allah, O Allah, O Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Allah, we seek your refuge from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us safety from the fire of Jahannam. O Allah, O Allah, grant us entry into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from all a'mal which will take us into the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us all the tawfiq to do those things which will save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimin, make us deserving of Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us in Jannatul Firdaus the company of the Anbiya, the company of the Siddiqeen, the company of the Shuhada, the company of the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimin, make us from the Shuhada, make us from the Sulaha, make us from the Siddiqeen. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us hidayah after which there is no going astray. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us hidayah after which there is no going astray. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us hidayah after which there is no going astray. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us your ma'rifat, grant us your recognition and grant us your love after which, O Arhamur Rahimin, there is no disobedience. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us the accepted tawbah after which there is no sin. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us health after which there is no sickness. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us your pleasure after which there is no displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us afiyah after which there is no test, trial or inconvenience or discomfort. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, those of us who are far away from deen, bring us nearer to deen, bring us on deen. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us all hidayah, grant us all hidayah. O Arhamur Rahimin, we are not deserving at all. O Arhamur Rahimin, you have created us, you have granted us everything that we possess, every ni'mat that we possess, despite all this. O Allah, we have done nothing but disobey you, we have done nothing but obey your and our enemy shaitan. O Arhamur Rahimin, we don't deserve anything from you, but O Arhamur Rahimin, if we don't ask from you, we will see nothing but destruction. O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimin, we are not worthy to be forgiven, but you are worthy of forgiving. O Arhamur Rahimin, don't look at our condition, look at your condition and grant us forgiveness. O Allah, you are Rahim and you are Rahman who shows mercy. O Allah, show us mercy. You are Ghafir, you are Ghafur, you are Ghafar, who forgives. O Allah, forgive us. O Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, we make a firm resolution that we will not sin again. We will not disobey you again. We will remain on the straight path. Oh Allah, assist us. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, save us from shaitan and nafs. Oh Allah, we have become slaves to shaitan. We have become slaves to our nafs. Oh Allah, save us from shaitan. Save us from our nafs. Save us from our base desires. Oh Allah, grant us the true realization of what is wrong and what is right, what is good and what is bad. Oh Rabbi Rahim, lead us towards khair, save us from shar. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, assist us. Oh Allah, save us. Oh Allah, save us. Oh Allah, oh Allah, save us. Oh Allah, grant us salvation in the hereafter. Oh Rabbi Rahim, have mercy upon the whole ummah. Have mercy upon the whole ummah. Oh Rabbi Rahim, give each and every individual of the ummah of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the tawfiq to value his deen. Oh Allah, give us all the tawfiq to value our deen. Oh Rabbi Rahim, give us all the tawfiq to appreciate our deen. Give us all the tawfiq to appreciate the beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Rabbi Rahim, oh Rabbi Rahim, open the doors of your mercies upon us. Open the doors of your assistance upon us. Oh Rabbi Rahim, oh Rabbi Rahim, the ummah is being persecuted throughout the world. Oh Rabbi Rahim, help the ummah, assist the ummah. And oh Rabbi Rahim, we know the cause and the reason. It is our turning our face away from your obedience. Oh Rabbi Rahim, give us all the tawfiq to repent sincerely and to follow your beautiful deen so that we become worthy of your assistance, of your nusra, of your rahmah, of your mercy, of your barakah, of your blessings. Oh Arhamur Rahimin, accept us all, grant us all acceptance. Oh Arhamur Rahimin, grant us your wilaya, grant us your special friendship. Oh Arhamur Rahimin, grant us barakah in ilm, barakah in amal. Oh Arhamur Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to value our ulama and the pious mashayikh, and grant us the tawfiq to benefit from them. Oh Arhamur Rahimin, all the good activities that are accepted in your court, that are taking place throughout the world. Oh Arhamur Rahimin, grant it acceptance. And oh Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us all also to benefit from it and to participate and to assist it. O Arhamur Rahimin, every good that your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. Every evil from which your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge, grant us refuge from it. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.